So,
Who died?
there's quite a few, actually.
The doofus, Dustin Diamond. Yeah, him. He just died. He died yesterday.
No, he did he really? Is that true?
From what I've seen, yes, he's actually dead.
Of what?
They haven't said yet, but the way he went to the hospital, it seemed like it might. Oh wait, here it is. Stage four lung cancer, according to TMZ. Yeah,
Really?
it says I died Monday morning. Declines since the weekend. Take off breathing machine. So COVID might have helped push that along. Based on Dustin. Show. Oh wow, he wasn't even going to be on the new reboot of the show. I mean, not that I care, but
Yeah, I don't care either,
that's kind of
but
cold.
that is crazy.
Yeah, it's all because of that stupid book he wrote, remember? Describing all the sex, drugs, and quote unquote rock and roll they had behind the scenes, and he wrote a big book on that, and they never forgave him for it.
Wow, Hal Holbrook died yesterday.
Yes, I saw that. I he
Oh, that's
said
too bad.
he's one of those, how did Kevin Hart put it? He's one of those guys, we're
Yeah,
like, I know he's like
there was a documentary, and I think he had a bit part in it. It was called That One Guy,
Yes, I
and
would
it
love,
is
oh, that's
like
a great title. I
it
love
talked about a bunch of character actors.
it. Yeah. Like Shooter,
Wow,
like a Shooter McGavin. I
he's
got
still
him at,
alive.
I know, but I don't even know his real name. Christopher McDonald?
Yeah, something like that. I had to look him up, but no, he's still alive.
Oh, no, I know he's dead, but I'm just saying another guy who's a, you, I
Oh,
know who you
yeah.
are. You're in, but I remember his Shooter McGavin. That's where he lands in my.
I heard him on a podcast a few years back, and it made me like him more. They asked him, "Are you tired of being, because he's been in so many movies of note. I mean,
Yeah.
he's been in a ton of movies of note, but he's mostly noticed known for Shooter McGavin." And he's like, "Aren't you tired of hearing that?" And he's like, "Actually, no." He's like, "I'm glad someone even recognizes me." He's like, "How many people get to like play pretend and get paid for it? And even if they know my face but don't know me exactly for," he was just a good, sound like a really cool guy. He was like, he has a really good attitude about it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's better than a lot of these guys. Like, for example, you're well, this is a nerd shit, nerd property, so it won't matter. You know how guys like Shatner or Nimoy
Right.
or even Terry Farrell, who played Jadzia on Deep Space Nine, they don't want that. They
That
don't
is
want
so.
to be defined by one role, when it sounds like a guy like Christopher McDonald would kill to have something like that.
Yeah.
To be an icon that will last a generation or two after you die, where your name is still remembered. Like, how long will it be before we forget Captain Kirk and William Shatner? What,
Exactly,
it'll
exactly.
probably be never. They'll probably name the first warp speed engine plane or ship or whatever it is after Shatner, Nimoy, or Roddenberry. One of those three is going to get the first name. Don't fool yourself. And
Yeah.
then you gonna complain about that? Come on, man. Give me a break. I know it doesn't help that you can't stretch yourself as an actor sometimes. I understand that, you wanna dig into other roles, but goddamn it, man. Acting is about, to me, it's about, the craft and doing something that's either gets you awards, that's fulfilling and gets you awards, or that's fulfilling, gets you awards and makes you a shit ton of money, and people know who you are. It just depends on how much you want, I guess. So I guess some people, you could say Marlon Brando got more than he ever wanted,
Right.
because he was an asshole after, what was it, Streetcar Named Desire? No. There was one other movie he did where he just started going like, fuck all of you. And then he just went batshit crazy after that.
I want to say the turning point was, yeah, early in his career,
Yeah,
because
I wasn't, took one too far.
he already had an a reputation for being difficult when he was in Superman 1.
Yeah.
You know, because he asked at the time, he asked for $8 million or $5 million to be in Superman, which at the time was unheard of.
Yeah, I know.
And he's like, he threw it out there because he knew they would say no, because he didn't want to do it. And then and then they said yes. And he was like, fuck. So he didn't learn his lines. And halfway, all his scenes, he's reading off cue cards. Yep. And he did that. He did that same shit in Apocalypse Now.
He sure did.
And he gained 40 pounds.
He sure
and did. When he showed up 40 pounds overweight, they're like, what the fuck? Yeah. And that's why they had to shoot him in the dark. I mean, it ended up, Coppola ended up turning it into one of the best scenes of the movie. And it was so haunting because he was always in shadows. But it was to hide how much weight he gained.
Oh, I thought it was to hide his notes because he had notes. One of the scenes where he's in a cave putting something on his face and he keeps looking up. That's where the notes were.
He had notes on that movie too. But Coppola said the reason it was so dark and in shadows the whole time. I mean, he was supposed to be a recluse and stuff, but they said the reason he shot it that way is because he was trying to hide how much weight he had gained.
Oh wow.
Because he had something totally. If you watch the documentary based on that movie was a fucking night. I mean, one, it was a if the movie wasn't a success, his career was over.
Now, what's the name of the movie we're all talking about?
Oh,
we don't need a. We just keep talking, then we'll do the hard opening later. But
Apocalypse Now.
There it is. Okay,
and what he would do. So the movie was incredibly over budget. They ran out of money one time. He got sick, deathly ill one time. A bunch of people did on the set.
Mm-hmm.
That's Larry Fishburne's first role. He lied about his age to his mom, brought him.
Yeah.
Said he was 17 and that he would be 18 in a couple weeks. So they just like, all right, that's fine. But in reality, he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
So he had this minor in Vietnam.
Oh, dude.
I think it was Malaysia they shot. I don't think.
Yeah.
Because we were still occupying Vietnam at the time.
Yeah, because that was that came out in what, 71?
72, I
believe. 72, yeah. Yeah, we were still in Nam at that time.
Or
real close to getting
out. We were exiting, but it was an exit strategy, but we were still there.
Right, that's what I thought, yeah.
We still had a presence.
It's just, why are you complaining, dude? You know, just suck it up. Let everybody recognize you, man. It's okay.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I am, I was wildly wrong. Apocalypse Now was came out in 79, so he was there in 78 or 76.
You know, I always thought it was the first couple years of the 70s my entire life.
Me too. And I own that movie, and I've seen it a bunch. I just didn't even bother to check. Yeah. I just assumed I knew.
Yeah. See. Remember when I said that quote everybody that you said and Stephanie that hates, but you said was stupid? If you know the answer, why would you ask the question?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a perfect example of why would you ask, hey, what year was Apocalypse Now come out in? You already know that. So why ask? Turned out you didn't know, but you thought you did. So why would you ask anybody?
I was 8 years off.
Yeah. I always thought it was like 71, 72. I had no idea. It was almost 80 when it came out. Huh.
You know what it is? It's because... it's Francis Ford Coppola, and I always associate him with obviously three movies: Godfather 1, 2, and Apocalypse Now.
Right.
Godfather 1 came out in 72, and so I just switched them. But I've always assumed it was like bam, 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 you know, one after another, because Godfather was 72, Godfather 2 was 74, and I assumed, you know, Apocalypse Now was in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy.
That is crazy. That's simply insane. I don't think I could ever have been more wrong and more confident about being wrong in anything other than this right now. I would have bet anything to anybody that it was in the early 70s. It wouldn't even have crossed my mind it would have been the 80s. Like around the time, what's that movie Richard did? Let it loose something loose. God damn it, Reese Pryor, I hate you. but I love that movie.
Oh, Bustin' Loose.
Bustin' Loose. Thank you, God. That's the movie. Oh, I love that movie, and I just couldn't remember the name of it. I was like, I know this movie. Bustin' Loose.
Dude.
That's it. Yeah.
Speaking of Bustin' Loose, Cicely Tyson died this week.
That's what else was in my head, too, was when I thought about that. Cicely Tyson was in that movie. She was the one he fell in love with at the end.
Well, yeah. But I owned that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me revisit it. I watched it Sunday afternoon. It's so crazy we're talking about this because I was just listening to a podcast where Kevin Smith
as Kevin
did the
Spacey,
same thing.
As Kevin Spacey sits with a cigar and fondling a little boy, he decides to dig deep into why he loved Busting Loose. Oh, that's awful.
But, no, again, I'm just going to ignore that.
I didn't mean that. I did not mean it to sound that way. But it just hit me. Yeah. That was nasty. Yeah.
But Kevin Smith talked about Bustin' Loose. He made him revisit it after hearing Cicely Tyson died. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, she was 96. Good for her.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, I did the same thing. But I don't know how much of that movie you remember. Remember, for anyone who doesn't know, most people who probably listen to this podcast do not know, because we're just old black dudes, and the vast majority of our audience is the opposite of that. So, but it was a Richard Pryor movie. Came out in like I'm gonna look this one up. I don't want to make that mistake.
May 22nd, 1981.
Yeah, there we go. 81. So Apocalypse was making its second run, probably in drive-ins and second run theaters. Anyway.
Yeah. Probably was. It was probably in those little dollar houses by then.
Oh yeah. Come on, man. This is, you know, movies would stay out a year if they were successful.
Well, yeah. They would. It's year and a half if they were really successful. You know,
I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark 3 times in the summer when it came out, in the fall, and then just before Christmas. And it was still packed.
God, it is amazing how far we've come entertainment viewing wise from 1980. To now, where it's where it's so foreign to people now, to kids now, they cannot relate to how we used to entertain ourselves. And to us, it doesn't seem like that long ago. But to them, like to Eloise, you might as well have been born in BC. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that long ago to her. And I used to say that to my dad, you know, when I was her, you know, oh, dad, dude, when you were born in the 40s, oh, what was that? You know, back when dirt was invented, you know, I get it now. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, dad. I shouldn't have been talking about this. You know.
What's also crazy is, I mean, in the last 100 years, the technological leap has been insane.
Yes.
But even in the last, from the time we were like from 80 till now, that leap is in crazy. It's science fiction if you think
that's
about
what I was
it.
Saying. Yeah, from 80 to now, I mean, movies have changed. The way we answer the way we use our phones has changed dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is 180 degrees different. I mean, I couldn't imagine at 15 years old that a little 11 by what 6-inch thing, 4-inch thing, 5-inch thing. Would be the centerpiece of my entire existence.
I was watching a show with Eloise.
I don't even think I could. I couldn't fathom that. I can't. I still can't. It's hard to imagine.
I was watching a show with Eloise, and I forget what the show it was, but someone had bought a brand new TV, and it was a 20-inch TV, and they're like, "My God, it's huge!" Mm-hmm. And Eloise is like, "That's not very big." No. As we're watching this show on my 65-inch TV,
I know,
and I was like, I remember telling her, "Yeah, I remember when my mom bought a TV. She bought a 27-inch, and we honestly thought that was obsessive. It was like, that's too much TV to look at. Well, I remember telling my mom, I was like, this is probably too big. 27 inches.
Oh, I know. I remember my 15th or 16th birthday, my parents finally said I could have a TV in my room. My dad brought one of the little 16-inch TVs. Uh-huh. And I set it on my stand, and I was like, this is the greatest TV I've ever seen in my entire life. because it was mine, but it was so small, dude. I mean, it was like,
I'll do you one better. My grandmother, my mom didn't want us to have TVs in our rooms, you know, and I get that. That makes sense. But I remember I was sick. I had like the flu and I was sick for like 3 days. And my grandmother came by and she's like, well, here, I brought the TV so you can watch TV in your room. And it was an old TV that she used to have. It was metal and it was red, fire engine red. Mm-hmm. It had a metal and it was like shaped almost like a rectangle. And it had a handle on it. It had like a little foot on the thing where you in the front where you could screw it down and let it down so you could like adjust how high up it sits.
Yep.
And the screen, it was a black and white screen, and it was about, I think, 4 inches, maybe 5 inches in diagonal. And that's what I had until I was probably 12. And at the time, I was like 8.
So basically, we were looking at a giant non-HD version of our phones that had been propped up on a table. It's pretty much what we
pretty much what we were
at, and we were grateful for it. You know, we didn't think,
oh, absolutely,
that would never have gotten us, angry, but oh my god, you're on TV, this is the greatest thing ever, you know. Or if they said go to your room, they would tell you either they would come and take your TV, or they'd leave the door open and say if you turn that TV on, it's gonna get worse. You know, my dad would just take the TV because it was so small, he'd just pick it up, put it on the steps. I'm in trouble. Then he give it back. You know.
My mom would take the TV and the record player because I was a music kid. I always listened to music or comedy albums. I had a ton of them. So she would just take the record player. I mean, and the TV. And I was like, fuck, now I got to read.
Yeah, exactly. I got to sit here in the quiet and read. My mom would take she would take the transistor radio too and the boombox.
Jesus, that's evil.
Yeah, I had nothing. My room was literally like a room that all it needed was padded walls, and it was like a jail. It was like a true crazy bin where she took everything because there was no noise. It was just me.
I at least had a pocket transistor radio. Remember those?
I do remember those. The ones that the 9-volt battery. I remember those.
Yeah, that's right.
And how many times did we stick our tongue in between the two things on the 9-volt battery because our friend said, hey, you'll get a little shock out of it. It won't hurt you, man. Oh, sure.
I only did it to see if I had a battery with juice. I didn't do it for kicks.
Hey, you know what's funny is that to do it to see if we have power. I mean, it's like, were we too stupid or too lazy to go get that damn a thing that measures the charge of the battery? We just use our tongues. Ow, okay.
That hurt. That's enough. It's good. It's good to go.
We're probably the only generation that hurt ourselves to see if something worked. I never thought about that. We actually hurt ourselves to see if the battery works. Like, ow, okay. Okay, that may sound funny, but the batteries work.
Oh my god, the whole thing that sparked this conversation. So I revisited Bustin' Loose.
Oh wow, that was a hell of a turn.
And I remember there was a scenes I totally forgot about, like the kids. It was kind of a family movie, but it was rated R because it's like, you know, no nudity, but a lot of Richard Pryor and cussing and shit. But I remember he's taking these kids. There's like they're from a like intercity school. Mm-hmm. The school closed down and these kids didn't have any family, and the orphanage what they were going to was full. So they were going to, like, not really a group home. They were pretty much going to be like adopted by Cicely Tyson's family friend or family member they're going to live on a farm. And Cicely Tyson's boyfriend hired Richard Pryor to drive those kids and Cicely Tyson across country on the school bus. And I remember at one point the bus breaks down or it gets and they're in some backwoods southern town, and the Klan is having a cross burning. And he tells him that the kids are all blind, and that he ends up getting them to help get the Klan help pushing them, you know, giving them a push, and they're like, all right, well, we don't want to hurt these blind kids. I was like, if only racists were that A, gullible, and two, reasonable. I know, right? I was like, oh, this is comedy, because he's getting like these, you know, KKK members. It's like 30 of them, and they're pushing this school bus so the blind kids could go, and you know, and so the black kids could go, you know, to where he called it the Ray Charles Institute to get eye transplants. You know, they were basically like, good luck, nigger, you know, basically. Safe, nigga, I was like, if only,
right?
And those, but there was a scene where Cicely Tyson, you see the fear on her face, and when she sees the Klan pull up, and then like the relief when they get away, when they, you know, get sent off. And I was like, man, she's like doing A1 acting even in this comedy that was probably a throwaway at the time.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Here's the even funnier part. I don't remember what forum I was on the other day, because I'm a part of a lot of things, you know, just to kind of, that kind of keeps me away from the news, but, you know, keeps me entertained on my phone. You know, I don't do a lot of news stuff anymore. That's probably going to change, because I haven't had the notion to look at any news since Biden got a.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
It's hard for me to understand it, because for the last 4 years, the first thing I did was pick up my phone and see what the hell happened. Now it's like, I don't care. We're back to normalcy, where it's like, what's the worst he's
heard? It is, what is the worst fucking crazy.
You know what I mean? That's how I feel about it now. You know, so
like this whole thing with the hedge funds, yeah. Right? The whole thing with, you know, I'm not going to even explain what it is, because if you're not paying attention, I mean, it's such big news. But basically, billionaire hedge fund guys are trying to stop other people from making money because it's costing them money. And this shit is super, it's got to be super illegal. But I was like, I remember hearing that, and I went, well, fuck, when it first broke, and I was like, that's got to be illegal. So I'm looking up, trying to see what's legal and what isn't illegal. And then this news article, or this news, the news story popped up. And I was like, what is the government doing? And my first instinct was like, well, fucking Trump isn't going to do shit about it. I was like, wait a minute. He isn't there. So I looked and see what Biden is. They're like, we're looking into it. We're going to see if we have to change laws in order to keep this from happening again, if what they're doing isn't legal. But I was like, wow, he's actually looking into it. If it was Trump, there is no way. I mean, he would stand to lose money, you know, so he would totally defend the billionaires. And so it was weird. And that was the only bit of news I really paid attention to, because I was actually thinking about not buying stock in GameStop, but I've been entertaining the idea for like the last few months and trying to figure out how it works. So I really wanted to see where this story was going, but it dawned on me, I hadn't checked any news in like 2 weeks. I just haven't thought about it. I've just been relaxed.
And I actually feel better about the day and the upcoming days than I ever did over the last 4 years. Because, like I said, the funny thing is that when he got elected, I understood what those poor, uneducated white folks were thinking. And I also understood what those, you know, walking the tightrope, moderate, close to conservative Democrats were thinking when they voted in 2016. I'm like, but look, guys, you don't have a choice now. And they went, yeah, you're right. We don't. We can't think of that sort of two devil shit. We got to just fucking, you know, vote for this guy. But I didn't panic when he got elected. I was concerned and I knew what he was going to do, but I didn't think he would be. I'd never seen a malignant narcissist in action before. I'd only read the term. Right. I'd only heard, you know, my educated family talk about it, you know, in bits and pieces, you know, during family vacations and shit. I looked it up. I know what it is. But when I saw it, it was like for the sports fans out there, it was like when Ray Rice knocked his wife clean out. It was fine when you heard about it. You were like, oh, that's sick. Oh, man.
No, but when like, you saw it,
then when you saw it, casually pick her shoes up, drag her out of the car.
He drug her like a caveman too, like by her feet.
He did. That's a good description. Because he did. He grabbed her by her feet. He drug her out of the elevator, flipped her over his shoulder. I'm gonna make babies tonight, and walked off with her. And I'm like, ugh. This would not have had that kind of impact on any of us if we hadn't seen it. That's what Trump did for me. I had a feeling shit was gonna go bad, just like Ray Rice. Most football players have that, especially the pros. They have that switch, you know, where it's like I gotta turn on and you gotta turn it off. Sometimes they can't quite get it all the way off. You know what I mean? And then sometimes accidents or this shit happens, whether it's accident or not, I don't care. Shit happens like this. You know, they're in a violent game, they're in a violent world. And for some of them, it's hard to turn it off when they get into this, when they get into reality. So whatever. But that's what happened with Trump. He hit reality. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy could get us all killed. And then when he said, you guys don't understand the scary stuff I read during my morning brief, is like, oh my, Dave Chappelle did a joke about that. And I was like, oh my God, you actually said that.
Right.
Why would you say that? We all had like talking about, I bet there's some scary shit. Don't confirm it. What's wrong with you? We're supposed to guess about this and be and joke about, we don't want to know it's real. That'd be like Trump going, well, you know, Space Force has got to be real. I mean, we're running a couple battle simulations now out by Saturn. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, we got planes. We got stuff, deep space ships. And we're about to fight some people called the something something. And then all you'd hear in the, you know, all you'd hear in the quiet is a, and Trump falls over. You know, it'd be dead silent. What? He hear? Down he goes. It's like, and then after I heard him speak a few times, that's where my mind went. Is it okay? Now I get this. This guy is gonna be horrible. But at first, I just didn't care, you know. And that's what sometimes it can do to you. You know, you just don't care sometimes, and then you realize I should care. And with Biden, I don't. I don't think I will. Yeah. Because,
and even if, like, you know, even if he dies, is the I'm good with the backup. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean? It's been the first time in a long time I was like a little relaxed.
It's been 4 years, man, that you've been like this. But that 4 years seemed like forever. it was the longest. But I think that's one because we were grown. I mean, really grown in our 40s, grown. You know what I mean? When Reagan did his eight, when W did his eight, when Clinton did his eight, we didn't care. We had other things on our mind. It didn't matter how bad it was. We were doing other things.
It's funny. Like, I remember when, because my mom followed politics a lot and followed current events. And she was, I think that's why I'm so into watching the news. And it's like, I don't care about, like, I remember when I cut the cord, I was like, I don't give a shit about the cable as long as I got these channels. But as long as I can get like local news, that's totally from her. But I remember when the inauguration for Carter, and I remember when Carter lost, my mom was like, oh, this is going to suck. You know, with Reagan, she's like, everyone's all gung ho, but this isn't going to be good. And I remember not liking Reagan mostly because she didn't like Reagan. So I was like, yeah, I didn't really, you know, I was aware, like, it was crazy. A lot of kids that age, you can't ask them who the president is. They don't even fucking know. But, you know, it was kind of like we had to know. So but I didn't really start caring about it until honestly, I mean, I voted for Clinton and I've, mm-hmm. both times, but I didn't put a lot of stock in it. It was just something you do. Yeah. Until Bush came into office, that's when I started paying a lot more mm-hmm. attention to politics and the way the world runs. Because I was just beginning to start making mm-hmm. real money. You know what I mean? I would like to where I could pay my bills and do shit and not worry about money as much. And then I saw how things were directly affect me. And then that's when, from that point on, I've been all about paying attention to what's going on in the world. And I think that's what happens to most people.
It comes a moment where the world becomes a vastly different place. And for some people, it's like it's like a moment they always remember. I think the moment I remember really paying attention to who was in office, and it sounds so stupid, but it's something that would catch my eye that I remember, is when Bill Clinton was on our Arsenio Hall show. And I'm like, who is this white boy? Why is he playing the sax like this on this black show? And then they stopped talking. Dad was like, oh, that's Bill Clinton, governor of Arkansas. He's running for president. I was like, this guy? He's like, yeah. And I was like, he looks like a drunk hillbilly. And my dad was like, look, that dude is Oxford educated. He's a lawyer. He's been governor. I think it's his second term. Don't let that accent and that red nose of alcoholism fool you. My eyes were open that there's more to the world than just within my eyesight and within my reach and within my eyesight. I was like, oh.
I was totally aware of Clinton and who he was, but I remember thinking when he played the saxophone on Arsenio Hall's show, I was like, he's never going to be president. He's too relaxed. He's too cool. You know, he's got to be an old white dude.
Yeah.
And that I can't relate with. I have no, that I can't relate to. And that's who the president is. And he kind of, when he won, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then they were talking, you know, they hadn't had a president. And, you know, this isn't an opinion. This is what people, you know, this is what polls were saying. There hadn't been a president that beloved since JFK. Hey. And only time that changed again is with Obama's first mm-hmm. term.
Because Clinton was what they called a Southern Democrat. We don't have any of those anymore. Right. They can walk into Mississippi, Missouri, places like that.
They can go anywhere. Yeah, they can
and
go anywhere.
Like, I understand you. And they go like, you do. You just don't believe as heavily as God and guns as we do. But I know you understand us. Now, Barack was a little different. Barack is very articulate. Brock is that guy who uses words sometimes. You're like, fuck, let me get this shit up. You guys got your phone, like, what the hell is absimalamo mean? I don't understand it. That's a made up word. I know it's a made up word. And you look at it, oh shit, it means the people that are ugly. I got to be damned. You know, and.
Well, Clinton was like one of those rare people. And this is just what it was.
Yeah. I mean, he's white racist.
And the hearts of black folks both liked
him. He walked
out. So if you can do that, it's, you know, his first term was a landslide victory
over the incumbent president.
Landslide.
He whooped HW, who had spent 12 years in the White House.
Yeah.
And had more experience than anybody and was former head of the fucking CIA. That's in a lot of ways. I don't want the head of the CIA running the country. I don't. That terrifies me now that I'm older. I mean, you know, we've talked about this in person. That dude, HW, he knew everything that was going on in this country. Reagan might not have. Bush, he knew everything.
No, Bush,
I was a scary old man who knew everything, all our dirt. He was the head of the fucking CIA. That was just.
So he didn't know about dirt. He was probably instrumental in dealing some. Oh,
I was trying not to say that, but that is what that too, you know. Because presidents are supposed to have their hands clean and shit like that. When he was president, looking back on it, it's like there's no way you can say his hands were clean. He was the head of the fucking CIA. Yeah. His hands couldn't be clean. They can't be. By definition, they can't be clean.
And when Bush 1 was in office, there was no internet.
No, there wasn't. So no.
There was, but not like yeah, not for the public. It was government run. It was, you know, its own thing.
Well, it wasn't just for, like, emails for the government and quick, you know, chit-chatting with each other and that kind of thing. It was a real small thing that nobody really thought the rest of the world would want during those years, you know?
Yeah.
Did we get cut off?
No. I got a notification, but it wasn't. I thought we were going to be cut off, but we weren't.
Okay, I did, too. And I was like, oh, did we cut us off? Nope. Okay. Yeah, it's like the internet was just a local government thing, you know, and that's way they could keep their secrets, you know. And with the internet, like that one lady who's in who's involved with Q, all of Q's members and believers are gone now, just about all of them, because nothing happened. And I'm like, I tried to tell you.
Are you talking about that senator who's part of QAnon? That lady that
yeah.
What is her name? She said that the wildfires were because of a Jewish laser.
Yeah, she said a laser did
from space. Mm-hmm. That the Jews have a satellite with a laser attached to space, and they mm-hmm. shot the started wildfires. Why? Because Jews. That's why.
And it's so funny that woman, in her same breath, will insult and call a Muslim a racist and someone who hates God. I'm like, wait a minute, you just condemned an entire race group of people.
Yeah, now, this is
but someone
woman,
else does
this
it.
Holding public office. Holding See, public office.
I know, and this one guy said that, you know, and I've been saying this for a while too, but he said on national TV that we got to find a non-racist way, because it'll turn racist. It always does when this shit happens. We got to have some sort of qualifying test or system for people running for government offices. You know, the people that are going right. to be, that we're going to put in charge of our shit. And like I've said, there's no reason why there should be more obstacles in the way for me to become, you know, the head of fucking Rite Aid than it is for me to become president. That's not how it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to become a manager at Rite Aid easier than I could ever run for president. But instead, it's the other way around. I don't have to have nothing but a ton of money and a little bit of charisma that 60 million people love. That's it.
Right.
And as Trump proved, that's not hard to do. That's not hard to do at all. He spent 4 years saying nothing and lying.
Yeah.
4 years of nothing and lying. And he almost got reelected. 70 million people voted for him.
Technically 68.
I'm sorry. Well, in my mind, 68, 70, that's still about 60.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's about 60 million people too many, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just too big of a swath of America that I find very uncomfortable or deeply behind him. You know, it's just uncomfortable to this day. It's like, oh, you did what? Oh, that's too many of y'all. You know, and it's just, I don't know. It's just weird. But what else we got?
Well, you know what? Oh, this is a good place to actually insert the theme music. So we technically actually start the show 40 minutes in. Let's have a little break for the music. Hello, folks. I'm Damon.
I'm Marcel, the one who says George Bush wasn't a bad president after all.
And we are Black Nerd Radio. He said it. I didn't say it, folks.
Hey.
Now, I'm starting like you weren't listening for the first 30 minutes of our cold open. So we're just going to pick up where we left off. I want to change the subject real quick and get out of old school versus new school politics.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch episode 3 and 4 of WandaVision?
Yes, and I told the wife to watch it too, and she did what I did. Now, honestly, spoiler alerts, especially for episode.
Oh yeah, this is going to be complete spoilers. No. The show's, you know, it was last week. It's a weekly show. We're not waiting until the end of the series.
No,
so go forward, sir.
Now, when I saw the three and four episode, I was like, not surprised, because there was only so many directions this could go. I mean, let's just be honest. There was only a set number of ways they could, I guess, realistically take this, which is an awful word to use when you're talking about a woman who can control reality. there's only a couple realistic ways that you could take this. And one of them was that she's doing this because she's lost her damn mind. Everything she's ever loved is gone. She says as much to Thanos, you know.
Right.
And I think that after that, she just went, I got nothing. And she's lost in her own head. And she made this fake town with her subconscious. And then her subconscious and her conscious kind of merged right when that, I think it kind of came out when that lady said, talked about Ultron.
Oh, when Monica talked about
it. Yeah, when she said that, she kind of went, because I saw that. Look, yeah, that's great acting. Yeah, she's by like, the way. She went, what did you say? And I was like,
she's like, yeah, it was.
You're going to get hit.
You could totally, you could totally see the emotion change. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because she could kill you just by thinking about it.
Oh, I know. I know.
And, you know, Monica, I mean, in the comics, and I'm probably going to be here too. Eventually, she becomes the next Miss, she becomes Miss Marvel. Not Captain Marvel, right. But yeah. She takes Miss Marvel, and she could. But right now, she has no powers.
No, she's so, just a young girl. That she's the little girl that helped.
Yeah, she was a little girl from the Captain Marvel movie. Yeah, right. That's her.
And you got to make sure some people might not know who she is with that. You know.
Oh, that's true.
There are some people who do may not know that. Yeah, that's
You're right. Yeah. Because I was talking, I had the same conversation with someone at work. The guy was like, we were talking about WandaVision, and he said. He's like, yeah, but it just seems real unrealistic. She's so grown now, and you know her mom's dead or died of cancer. It's like she wouldn't be that old. I was like, you forget that movie took place in 95, mm-hmm. and it's 2021 on WandaVision show. And he's like, oh shit, that's right. It's like, yeah, it's like so most people forgot. You know,
you also got to remember the blip happened is what they call on the show anyway. You know, where shit just vanished, where people just vanished. And so
How cool was that? She was one of the people blipped, and then she just like came back, and it was 3 years later. She didn't know what was going on.
Oh my God.
In the hospital.
She was blipped, wasn't she?
Yeah, that's what that was. Everyone was coming back. No, and they're like,
oh my God, I forgot. She was with, she was looking over Vision, and then she got, for a better word, blipped.
Yeah.
And then she did come back in 3 years. She just brought herself back, I guess. Wow. I did not think about that. That's a scary, scary character. She just brought herself back from that.
Yeah.
And there's also rumor that she might, I think you said it first, but I don't know if I read it, you said it, or both, that she's probably going to be the next big bad guy.
Yeah. That was my,
You said that? Okay.
Based on all the stuff that is, you know, and I feel a little vindicated because everything I said that was probably going to happen. It did happen. And it's not that, I mean, if you read the comics, you know,
you knew what was coming.
Stay current, you kind of could figure it out also. Mm. But I remember thinking, you know, this, she's going to be the big bad, and she's going to, you know, now that, in, you know, Marvel said that, you know, that's not confirmed, but it's fucking, if it's not confirmed, it's why even just lie and say, you know, because they've already shot it. But, you know, that Doctor Strange will be making an appearance on this show, which, you know, and that this show directly is synced with the next Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah.
So it's House of M. That's what they're pulling from. Yeah. That's got to be what they're pulling
from. And the only reason why Strange would show up, he's trying to get Wanda out of her head before she destroys even more reality. Because she's starting to consume reality. You know, like when that drone flew through and disappeared. You know, they were like, where the hell did it go? That's where Wanda is. Stay away.
Well, that leave her be. You see, it was that drone that she had found in episode 2, mm-hmm. but but she had changed it to look like a 50s style helicopter.
Yeah, it's like she's running through, I think, the worst thing you can do in the situation she's in. She's running a what if Vision didn't die right now, where they live in their house, they have dinner, he has a job, she gets pregnant, they have a couple kids, and she's living that life right now, except it's not in her head like a lot of like normal people. We would just live that in our head. She's living that for real. I mean, that's a reality.
Well, she's getting rid of anything that threatens her little bubble. But because at the very end, remember when Vision's like, we can go anywhere, and she was like, No, we can't. Yep. It's two ways to play it. No, we can't because I'm a prisoner here too, and someone is keeping me here. Mm-hmm. Or no, we can't because I can only contain this little area, and if we leave this little bubble, everything changes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but both ways, because there's some subtle things that I didn't notice right away, but then I watched it a second time, like, of all the photos on the wall, her so-called best friend, the lady in, you know, the neighbor lady, mm-hmm. she's not on the wall. Everyone else is, but not her. Like, they're who their real realities are. So, and I only know very little about, there was another sorcerer that was keeping her, that was doing this to Scarlet Witch in the comics. I just can't remember the storyline, but where she was like kind of forcing her in a bubble of a reality that she created. Hmm. So I was like, are they going that route? That's what. So now I know she's creating a lot of this stuff, but is she being led to believe she has choice,
or,
I don't know.
Well, here's the line. When Vision says that, she says, "No, we can't. This is our home. Don't worry, darling. I have everything under control." And before she said that, I'm like, this is her thing. And this article I'm looking at is from Esquire, where it said the real genius of WandaVision is she's hiding in plain sight, and that it's talking about mental health. And I'm like, well, you got paid to say that? Really? I thought it was pretty obvious that this was about mental health from Wanda, that she is, her mind is gone. And I believe they're going to break, like you said, Doctor Strange will show up because he's trying to get Wanda to come out of that, of what she's doing. And this might be what sets Strange off into that little trip into the multiverse. She gets pissed off at him and just fires him into the multiverse. We don't know how this will play out, you know?
I know in House of M, when she creates a little family, she does have two sons that until the very end of the comic, she believes they were like the one thing that was real. And she, come to find out, no, they were just as fake as everything else. Yeah. And that gave her like a crack. He gave her like a, and that's when she was like, no more mutants, you know. But I think if they go that route with her at the end, because, you know, Scarlet Witch in the comics, who people who don't know, she gets rid of half the mutants. She pulls a Thanos and gets rid of half the mutants on Earth, or all the mutants, she got something like 97 or 98% of all mutants got just cleared the deck, started over.
Yeah, let's put it this I don't mean to interrupt, but I want to kind of narrow that down, where it's like, just think about it. Only the stars survived. So just remember that. The ones who didn't have the red shirt are alive.
Yeah. But I forgot what my point was.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing that too a lot lately.
Well, I wouldn't have forgotten it if I wasn't cut off.
I know. I apologize.
Oh, that makes me mad that I forgot.
Here's something you can do, though, honestly, and with no joking. I have a notepad. I mean, a little flashcard, rather, next to me that when I start or you start a tangent, I write down, or at least I try to remember to write down what we were talking about before the turnoff happened, so I can get back to it. And it's like, I don't know what... I do it because I think it's because of the PTSD I've gotten. I mean, I don't know what else it could be, but my memory is just shot. So I have to write that down. And like, oh, we were talking about this, this, and this, and this. Got it. But as far as your point goes, I can't help you there. I was in your head. I can't help you there.
All right. Well, I really like, just to sum it up, I really liked episode 4. I'm actually, for once, I'm looking forward to next week's show, or this week's show, what it's going to be. And it's starting to feel like Marvel to me. And like, you know what I really like? Like the smaller characters, like Yang. Well, no, not Yang. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, the officer from Ant-Man.
Yeah, what I thought was cool that he, when he introduced himself, he did the card trick he was trying to learn. And that was in Ant-Man. He's trying magic, and that was the one trick he was trying to.
I totally forgot
that. What's his name? What?
Totally forgot that.
Yeah, it was. That was a pretty cool piece of continuity. Oh. It's like, oh, he got it right now, because all through Ant-Man he couldn't do it.
That's the little things, man. Oh, wow. I'd never thought about that. Ain't that a bitch?
And I like him, and what's her name? Darcy. It's cool to see.
She shocked the hell out of me when I saw her in the back of that. I think it was a truck. I was like, "Oh my god!" They dug her up. What the hell is happening now?
I thought that was kind of cool.
It was cool, but it was still like, "What the hell?" You know?
Yeah.
They're kind of like, why is she here? What is going on? And then you're like, will this tie into Thor Love and War? Because that's Jane's best friend. Are we Marvel really playing the true long game again with this shit? I'm impressed. You guys are still, you know, winning. You're like, let's say you're 80-1. You know, you still got that one L for the second Thor, but
yeah,
you're still rolling tough. Well, the second Thor, there was another one. I didn't like Iron Man 3 that much.
You know, I get why people didn't like it, but you didn't hate
it. No, I didn't. I just didn't like it.
You didn't walk away going, fuck that movie. I walked away going, fuck that movie with the second Thor.
Yeah.
I liked how the episode 4 gave like these smaller characters like some weight, like they're finally getting some plot, you know, they're like in it, they're in deep in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So I thought it was kind of cool.
It was very cool, you know, watching that happen. And then, you know, seeing the blip do its thing in that hospital was very cool.
Yeah.
Finding out, you know, for sure what was you were right about, what everybody was right about, if they're getting hit brains, was watching Wanda basically tell the audience, no, this is me, I'm doing this, so get ready for the ride, because you guys are about to, it's almost like they're teasing how strong she's becoming because of her rage and her hatred, you know, and I know it's building. They did, I you know, the funny thing is, And I want to say this before I go. Fuck you. I hate you for this. And
oh yeah, what's that?
I hate you for this. Is your fault.
Oh,
what did I do? Nexus thing is your fault. I now am watching these movies, particularly these Marvel movies, going, I wonder what that scene means. I wonder what that scene means. Now, is that going to tie up with this? Because, you know, when it's like I said during the fight scene, you know, she says, you took everything from me, and I was like, oh yeah, with Thanos did this, and back in the thing, oh my god, I remember all that. And it's like, I don't want to do that. I just want to watch them all one at a time as their own little world and move on. But because of you, I'm seeing the dots that are connecting this shit. It's driving me crazy. I hate it.
Well, I can't help it. It's just good storytelling. Man.
That's what I hate.
You gotta get sucked in.
It's so great. They are really, and the thing is, I don't know. They've been talking about Kane or Annihilus as the next big guy, bad guy. And somebody,
oh really?
Yeah, I think Annihilus is too much. I'm sorry, but I think it's too much, especially without the, you know, art without Iron Man's brains to help you out. I think that unless you could put Reed Richards in there to help you out,
right?
I think it's too much. Anonymous is too much, man. He's,
well, you know, now that we have, because you know, Tony Stark was in the Marvel Universe, it's kind of the one of the more most. He was what I know, Siri in the comics, she was the fifth smartest person. I think Tony was the second or third, but Reed Richards, he's the smartest man in the Marvel Universe.
Is he really?
I think so, because he can expand every part of his body, including his brain.
Okay,
so here we go. So he makes it bigger, you know, he makes it bigger so he can function better. Is there a list of the smartest people and smartest characters in Marvel?
Actually, yes. it's from the Screen Rant, January 27th, 2020. Number one, it goes Tony Stark. They say no one in the Marvel Universe is smarter than Tony. Then Shuri.
She's number two. I thought she was lower on the...
They said that he has been declared the smartest character in the MCU by the Russo brothers. They say she's the smartest one. Then you forget how smart Rocket Raccoon is. I mean, everybody...
Oh, yeah, he is a genius. Yeah. He is a genius.
Everybody forgets that psycho, how smart he is. And then you got the Supreme Intelligence. Duh, forgot about that, too. Then you got Bruce Banner. Really took...
Where does Reed Richards look? He's so fucking...
I'm still working, brother. I'm still working. Hold on. We still...
Or Doom. Doom is super smart. No, this is... I'm not going with a screen
right now. We're getting there. Just breathe. It's okay. Let's
see. Oh. So
Nebula. Okay, we're starting at 14? No, 15. Peter Parker, obviously, you know, only the people that really know deeply about Spider-Man know how smart he actually is. He's a teenage genius. Peter Parker is a teenage young man genius, super genius.
Right. He invented the webbings So yeah,
and he can, and he's actually solved some problems for Stark, and I think he's helped Reed Richards out too. I mean, he's a bad motherfucker, man, in all ways and shapes. Then you got Nebula at 14. Well, I can understand that. He's a machine. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Doctor Strange is 13. I get it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanos is 11. Ooh, I'd bring Thanos a little higher.
Yeah, you're an Eternal, and you're...
Yeah, that dude's been around too long not to have... Yeah. Okay, then you got Howard Stark at 10. Oh, fair enough. I got that. I get that. Uh-huh. Jane Foster at number 9. Let's just put it this way. I don't know enough about her character in the Marvel Universe to know if this is true or not. I could read her. I could read her backstory all I want on the screen. I'm not sure if she's this high.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? It's like she hasn't done enough for me to go, yeah, I agree, or no, I don't agree. You know, it's just like, yeah, I'll wait until the other one comes out, then we'll see. Vision is number 8.
Yeah,
okay, I get that. Hank Pym. Oh yeah, I forgot about him.
The Pym. Yeah, you forget.
And the Pym particle. Yeah.
He's a science. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's the most terrifying thing in the universe, supposedly in the Marvel universe, is the Pym particle.
Well, it's so many. There's no limitations.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want if you harness it right. Then you got T'Challa. Yeah. Okay. I forgot he is brilliant too, and a king. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Bruce Banner. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. That makes
perfect sense. The Supreme Intelligence, obviously, Rocket, Shuri. And Tony, they don't have Reed Richards on here or Doom. Oh, see, I know why. Bullshit. No. I know why. I read it, but I didn't read it correctly. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
See, there it is.
That makes more sense.
Okay, yeah. I read it, but I didn't read it correctly. That's my fault, audience. I apologize. I just thought it was the Marvel Universe when it's the cinematic universe, which makes more sense that because Reed Richards hasn't been in that in the universe yet.
Right.
You know, Doom hasn't been in there yet. So why would they count?
Correct.
You know, they're probably
all right.
Yeah, that's where it sits right there.
I have the 10 smartest heroes in the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Oh, this is updated. This is a 2019, and CBR.com
got it.
Is the source.
Okay.
All right. Smartest, number 10, Riri Williams, the successor to Tony left her all his tech and she added to it. I hate her name is Riri. I wish it was just like whatever.
It's a super black name. I mean,
I get why they did it. The writer of this iteration of Iron Man, or I guess, I forget. He's a white guy, but he's adopted black children, and he wanted his daughter to see a cool. Yeah, I get it, but let's just skip the reread.
Okay, now so we're talking about the Marvel smartest. I'm gonna write that down because I'm gonna take a quick tangent here, real quick.
All right, we got Riri Williams, number 10.
Okay, the thing is, I
just let me finish the list before you tear it apart.
No, I'm not tearing it apart. What I want, no, I won't. I won't tear apart the list. I'm just trying to think. Why? Okay, there's my point. When we say Riri Williams, you say it's just like one of those names, right?
Immediately it's black,
right?
You know, if I heard Riri Williams before I knew who she was,
you know she's black.
I think it was, I listen to a lot of Kevin Smith's podcast, and they'll talk comics and shit like we do on a tangent, and Kevin Smith was like, there's going to be this new character, Riri Williams. She, you know, Tony Stark's dead. He left her all this tech and she's building on it. I immediately knew she was black. I just, Riri? Who else has that?
Here's what I read. And I remember my dad talking about it to me once when I was in my early 20s. I read an article in the newspaper and something else. And I asked a few people about this. One of the things with the made up names is that black Americans subscribe to, I think, the ones who do this, to two philosophies that are pretty much the same. All names are made up. All names and words are made up. Anyway, you know, and that's just the way it is. We establish meaning to a word, and that's what it becomes. But it was a word that we came up with. So, and technically, everything we say is made up. We just establish meaning to it. Got it. Now, We are one of the few cultures, African Americans are the ones that do this, that don't have a truly 1,000, 2,000 year traceable heritage. And when we're here in America, we don't have our own thing. So what a lot of Black folks did was they started making up names to give us something to separate us from everybody else. We got tired of the white names. We got tired of the Arab names, you know, Muhammad Ali and all. We got tired of all that. I want something that's ours, that doesn't belong to nobody else. Well, we're going to name your daughter Letitia. There you go. Now we're beginning the process of finding something that's ours. Now, do I agree? Years ago, no. Do I agree now? Honestly, don't care, because it does not affect me. But what I would say is that the people that do that have to understand that Riri would walk would send her application to some people, and they would look on it and go, Riri, and immediately throw it away.
Exactly.
They'd immediately toss it, not realizing Riri's the smartest person on, you know, not only on the block, but on the planet. They just toss it. I don't want nobody named Riri working here. Who knows what this ghetto bitch will be like? And it's not true.
And let's be 100% honest.
Okay.
If I was in a doctor's office and had a choice between a Rebecca and a Riri, I'm going with Rebecca.
Okay. I will debate you on that with this. I would have to talk to both of them. Okay. And honestly, and I would tell them, if the name is what's holding me back, and I hate to be that guy, but I want you to understand how honest I am. And I'm honest to a fault sometimes. Your name is throwing me. Yeah. And if Riri had a deep Southern accent on top of that name, nah, she's not touching me.
Yeah, I know.
And that's no wrong. I mean, she's not touching me. I couldn't.
I can't, it could be we're just too programmed.
Yeah.
But at the same token, to our defense, if the, you know, it may seem like we're just, you know, programmed to think anti-Black in that sense, but at the same token, aren't they aware of what this looks like?
Oh,
and if they want to be taken seriously, like, how am I going to take you seriously if you're not taking you seriously?
But see, here's what they're doing though. And this is why,
because I know what country I live
right.
in.
And what I think they're doing is they're trying to make the white hiring world understand that, one, we're going to have our own thing, and two, you're going to lose out on a lot of quality people because you didn't hire them because of their name. You're also going to get into trouble by the federal government once they find out. And I turned in a couple people behind that. You know, I actually watched one of my bosses do that. He read a name, threw it away, and I called HR quietly, and he got fired. I was like, I'm not letting it. I almost told him to his face, but they told me not to. Right. I was like, I'll tell him I did it. I have no problem telling him that. Hey, Marcel, calm down. Go sit down. We'll handle it. I said, you sure? He's right there. I can tell him I did it. I actually wanted to hit him in the mouth is what was happening. And I think that lady knew it. You know, I was trying to provoke the manager to hit me so I could bounce him off the walls. you know, and she would not have it. I was like, oh, please let me go tell him so he'll swing on me so I can hurt him. But that's the thing, though. It's like, I think they do understand it, but they want to keep inundating white America with these names so that eventually one generation will come around where it's like, that's normal. And they won't care anymore. But you got to keep hitting that door with your fist. Eventually, you're going to punch through that door. And that's what I think they're trying to do. They're trying to punch through the door and say, look, you know, if you're going to let a Schwarzenegger be a movie star, you sure can let Letitia be one, too. Now, look, obviously Schwarzenegger is a family name, hundreds of probably thousands of years old, but again, it's made up, just like you know, Letitia's, both made up, both sound stupid if you think about it, especially when you're trying to pronounce them at first. But I don't see the difference. I really don't. It's kind of like when people couldn't pronounce Giannis Antetokounmpo's name. God, my
yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? You made a valid point. Yeah. If they can pronounce. Schwarzenegger's name or
Mike Krzyzewski, the head coach of Duke.
Yeah,
you know,
or Scorsese. Yeah. They should take the time. You know, you flip me. Now you flip right. me. I agree. Yeah. I that's a valid
yeah,
point.
And that's what I've said that this, I've used this point ever since my dad talked about it, and I read that article, you know, 25 years ago, is that this is something that I think has to happen, because we are desperately trying to find our own thing, and we just can't. It's like, but you, the people out there, you got to respect that. You know, we're not doing anything illegal. We're not doing anything wrong. We just want our own thing. And it's becoming normal now. It's kind of like, what's his name? Zappa. What did Frank Zappa name his boy Moonbeam? I think it was.
No, Moon Zappa, Ahmed Zappa, and Dweezil Zappa. Only one's an actual name. There's a lot of Ahmeds. But Dweezil and Moon. Yeah. Moon Unit. That's Unit's right. The middle
Moon
name.
Unit. That's what it is. Moon, yeah. That's what it is. I thought it was Moonbeam. No, it's Moon Unit.
Moon Unit.
Now, you're looking at Riri and Moon Unit.
Oh, fuck. Wait, you're going both away? All right, Riri.
Yeah, you know, you go, oh, Riri. I was like, we're going to talk to this girl here. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. But to bring it all the way back, I get your point. I thought about that too at first, but then I looked at it from a different perspective, a more, not necessarily a positive perspective, but just a different perspective. And I get it. Mm-hmm. I get why she's Riri. I get it. And I don't care anymore, you know? It doesn't bother me anymore. If it's Riri, Letitia, LaQuanda, that's just bother me.
Holy shit. That's dude. Not me anymore. Holy shit. I forgot we were talking about that list. All right. Let me get through this.
Yeah, no, I wrote it down. I was about to say we got to go back to Marvel's top 10 here.
I literally forgot this is where that
started.
That's
why I wrote it down. All right. It's right here. Marvel 10 smartest. Oh.
All right. I'm going to go through it real quick. And then I want to talk to you about the little things, and then I think we're gonna go because I had a list of questions I want to ask you, but we're gonna save it for the next episode. Number 9, Amadeus Cho.
I'm not up to date on him yet.
I haven't read a lot of it, but I'm gonna start because I love this guy character. I read a couple of issues with him. He's unlike, you know, Banner where you battle with it. Amadeus Cho fucking loves it. He's like, this shit is awesome. He's kind of like a bro, but he's an Asian dude. But he's kind of a bro, but he's awesome. I like him.
Is Keanu Reeves?
Maybe. He's a little too old.
I'm just talking about Asian, bro, kind of cool.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, maybe young Keanu.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That sounds like Keanu Reeves to me. It really does. It sounds like Keanu.
Nobody dislikes him. He's just, he's kind of arrogant, but he's just fun.
I hate that when people don't like him. When everybody has everybody liking, it's like my mother. That's just, somebody's got to hate you. No, I found out 2 people hate my mother just because they look there. Like, I just don't like the cut of your jib. Dude, that was the best day of my life when she told me that.
All right, number 8, Shuri. Yeah. T'Challa's sister. That's right. Of course, number 7, Hank Pym. Number 6, and I'm Hank McCoy. Yeah, McCoy. Yeah, because that's when you were telling me this list. I'm like, this is all wrong. But yeah, Hank is not part of the Marvel universe. Well, not till
recently. And he's not part of the cinematic universe at all.
No, that's not, why at, they all.
Kept me off,
not at all.
So, okay.
Number 5, Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Number 4, Tony Stark.
Ooh, they're 3 ahead of Mr. Stark. That's impressive. Let's see. Oh, okay. Okay.
Reed Richards. That sounds more like
it. Yeah, I think him and Reed should be like, 3 and 3A. Because I don't think there's a distinct difference in an intellect between Reed and Tony. I've seen enough of their interactions. I've read enough of their interactions. I don't think Reed is that much beyond him to where there's a noticeable, to us dummies, a noticeable difference.
No, these are all super geniuses. Yeah. So none of us would know the difference. So yeah, okay, yeah. How do you explain mathematics to a cockroach? So what you're saying doesn't make any sense because it shouldn't.
That's what I mean. I'd be looking at both their boards of math equation. Like, yeah.
I think you got one wrong here. He's like, really, which one? I don't know.
Line 45 looks like that should be a D instead of an F. Right?
Number 2 is Valeria Richards, his daughter.
Yeah, his son is the badass with the dimensions and the reality.
Yeah, his son. No, no.
Yeah, his daughter.
Was that Reed's son or was that Xavier?
No, that's Reed's son. The one that the Celestials will talk to.
Talking about Legion? No, Legion is Xavier.
Hold on. Let me check. I could be wrong. I'm not going to say I'm right or wrong yet. Let's see.
I know Legion is the son of one of those two. I have always thought it was.
Franklin Richards. Okay. Why is Franklin Richards the most powerful? One of the most powerful characters in Marvel Comics. His power, the chief among those powers is being completely insane. Yeah, once he grew up, he went nuts because he can do. He's like Wanda. He can do anything. Franklin can do whatever he wants to do, and that's why the Celestials. Some of the most ancient beings in the universe. What is that other one? Eternity, Celestials.
Yeah,
they all talk. They all acknowledge him when he's supposed to be an ant. You don't talk to ants. You don't talk. But yeah. Him. Oh hey, what's up, Franklin? What's going on? Come on, make yourself a little bigger so we can see you. You know, kind of thing. They're not gonna punk him because he could wipe him out if he wanted to.
It's kind of like Black Bolt. Yeah. He's like, you know, no one fucks with Black Bolt. I remember he was going to go up against Sentry in a comic, and then Black Bolt's wife was like, all right, he's going to do the talking now. And he inhaled. All he did was inhale. And Sentry's like, all right. So, yeah, Black Bolt is no fucking joke. Oh,
real quick before you get to number one, this won't even require the discussion. I tried to watch the first episode of the Inhumans. Couldn't do it.
Oh my god, it is fucking awful.
Tried, got about 10 minutes in, it was like, can't do it.
It's so funny. Marvel treats that like Lucas treats the Hollywood holiday special. They just want to pretend it didn't exist.
It's terrible, dude. I mean, I can't imagine going through, I think it went, 20 episodes? 15 episodes?
No, they may have recorded that many, but the show got canceled after 8. It was terrible.
Everything about it.
And the guy who directed and wrote it was responsible for the creation of that show. Guess what other property he touched, and he fucked that up. And they're like, "Yeah, you're out of the Marvel business." After that, he's like, "Well, I'll fix this. I'll fix my mistakes and make this really cool Marvel show." And the next show he worked on was Iron Fist. That lump of shit. Yeah.
Nobody had anything good to say about that. But also. You and I remember, though, the chief complaint was that the guy was white. And it's like, you guys are idiots. If you read the story, he's always been white.
He's always been white. They're like, shouldn't this go to an Asian man? And like,
You guys are always so want to be so sticky, you know, so stuck on that if he's white, he's white. If he's black, he's black forever, forever, never, never, never. But not when it comes to Iron Fist. You want him wants to change his ethnicity? Really? All because he knows karate?
I was like, all of it. It's so funny. I was like, this is the one time whitewashing needs to happen because that's kind of the character. His whole point was he's proven himself because he's
got a lot to prove. It was just a shitty...
And to the level of becoming Iron Fist, I mean, give me that's like the hook. That's the whole point. Anyway, you have this. It was a good. I used to read that comic. I love that comic. Power Man and Iron Fist. All right, number one, Lulina Lafayette. And I had no idea she was like that level of genius.
Lady, to be honest. Wow.
Well, she's a girl. She's
she looks black,
girl.
So I don't. That's why.
Oh, she is. She is. She's a black girl. Oh, no, I take that back. She's not. I think she's Indian.
She looks like a light skinned black, but I can't see her face. So I don't know.
Well, I'm just going to read it because I'm curious as to why she's the smartest. I didn't realize that she would be the smartest. This may come as a surprise to some readers. Yeah, me. But Lulina Lafayette has been established as the smartest Marvel hero. Going by the name Moon Girl, she has Inhumans ancestry and a telepathic link to Devil Dinosaur. The two fight crime together, but when she isn't a hero, Lulina. God, that's a mouthful, is experimenting. She's been dubbed smarter than everyone else on this list, and her creations back up that claim. All her gadgets are used in battle so she can continue to improve and be the hero she wishes to be. She takes a lot of risks, but this makes up for her lack of experience. As she makes many new discoveries, she's actually so smart she can talk when she's in the body of Devil Dinosaur. Oh,
yeah. Her Wikipedia page says, it doesn't even like describe it. All it says is stupidly super intellect and consciousness transferal and crazy intellect.
Wow. Oh God.
Yeah, she's known as that crazy fourth grader. She's in fourth grade. Oh my God. You know how much fun that would be if I had a daughter in the fourth grade that was just smart? I'd be like, baby, you know what you got to do, right? Dad, I want to conquer the world for you. I don't want to do it. Just conquer the world and give daddy the seat for 5 minutes and you have it for yourself. Fine.
I am the father of a fourth grader, and she's pretty bright, but she's not this smart. Not to where she can invent shit and have a telepathic link to a demon dinosaur that she fights crime with.
Now, that's the devil dinosaur that came from the Savage Land that was supposedly Hulk's like pet dog or something. I think is the same T-Rex they're talking about. When it said devil dinosaur, I remember because you hated Agents of Smash. There was one.
I
think that was the dinosaur they had on there was named Devil. And it was a big red dinosaur. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering if that's the same one that they gave it to her. They gave her the pet because they couldn't keep it anymore, I guess. I don't know.
But, no. Yeah, that Hulk is one of my favorite characters, but I hate that fucking show. I just hate it. It's so
lame. She is black.
Anyway. Okay. I couldn't remember. You know what? I was probably mixing her up with Kamala Khan.
Yeah, the one who's Indian and Muslim. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah, she's gonna be on a Marvel show.
That's gonna be fun because I wanted to see how they're gonna do her powers, which is mainly stretching, I think, in intellect.
Oh,
because I know she can stretch, but I don't know how she stretches. It's like did Reed like give her a blood transfusion or what's happening? I don't. Her, I have no idea other than she's an Indian and she's Muslim. Other than that, I don't know nothing about her. I haven't done the research and I don't care. I'm just going to watch. And if she's great, then I'll research it. If she's not, then I can say, well, I saved that 10 minutes of my life. So.
All right. We're going to switch gears. We're going to get to go pretty soon before we get cut off. I wanted to talk about a movie that I watched. Well, I actually watched two movies. I introduced Eloise to Cloverfield, and it was kind of funny. She didn't, we were looking around, we were sitting at home Saturday night, and we wanted to watch a movie. And I was like, she likes a good common ground for her and me is like sci-fi and action movies. We can both get excited about that. Cause a lot of times I'll watch something she wants to watch, but I have zero interest in, but I got to watch it because she wanted to watch it.
That works.
Yeah. But, so in the science fiction though, or Marvel stuff, we're both in the same, so anyway, we're talking, Cloverfield, and I was like, I think you'll like this. And, she was like, I'm not going to like it. And then yesterday she was like, I think Cloverfield's my new favorite movie.
I love it.
Oh, it's so funny. She does that with everything. I did it. I tried to show her. And before that, her other favorite movie was War of the Worlds. Which one? And I showed her both, but she loved the one with Tom Cruise. And that was the one she's like, this is my favorite movie. And I, and she fought me on that one. She's like, I don't want to watch it. That old stuff. It was like that one we watched before. I don't want to watch it. It's like, you don't like it.
Watch it. All right, fine.
And it's like her favorite movie. Anyway, I revisited that and I hadn't seen it in a while. That first Clover, because the other ones is kind of diminished return for me. But that first one is pretty damn good.
The only thing I remember two things about that movie. One, I thought it was not quite the level of the Blair Witch, but I thought it was really good.
Yeah, the shaky cam was the steady cam didn't do a lot of herky jerkies. And even their quick movements were pretty smooth. So you could still make out. I mean, other than the scenes where stuff had to be, like they're running downstairs or something. Other than that, it wasn't really too much herky jerky.
But what movements. I do remember though in Cloverville was watching people run out because something about the camera made them throw up. I remember
people were getting nauseous.
Ran out of the theater I was watching it in, and
me being me, I was like, "You all right, sir?" Oh, the camera, man, made me sick. Ah, good. That's what happened. All right. Curiosity satisfied. And I just sat there. Lever was like, "What? Why'd you ask him that?" I was like, "Dude, it was gonna kill me if I didn't know why these people were running out of here. I had to ask." So I had no choice, man. I was like, "I'm that guy who has to push the button," you know. So I had to ask. But that's what I remember about it. I remember, like I said, I remember it being pretty good. I remember Abrams wanted to establish America's own monster. Is one of the reasons why he did it.
Yeah.
Because he thought Godzilla belonged to Japan and the rest of the world, but he wanted something for Americans, and he came up with this guy. And I was like, well, Godzilla was an iconic accident, if you ask me. I mean, he's famous. I don't know why, but we all love Godzilla, and I cannot put my finger on it. And I love it.
Hey, I have a prediction for this Godzilla, because they said there's going to be a definitive winner and a definitive loser. And
I think they gave away the trailer, but go ahead. I think I know.
Tell me if this is what you think. Okay. This is what I think. It's my theory. I think there's going to be, we're going to see a fight between Godzilla and King Kong on in the water, and Godzilla is going to win that drowning fight. Yeah. And then we're going to see a second fight between Kong and Godzilla on land, and Godzilla and Kong is going to fuck them up. And then they both have to fight Mecha Godzilla, and they're going to defeat Mecha Godzilla and then not be buddies, but have a mutual respect and walk away in other opposite frenemies directions.
And then walk away into this one will go into the sunset, the other one will go the other way, and there's some old Western music will play as the two adversaries go back to their own lives. That we're saying?
That's what I'm thinking. That's my theory.
It's not that I think, terrible. I thought it was going to be stupid. It's only 10% stupid. I kind of...
Oh, fuck off. I bet you I'm right. What is your dumb theory?
It's actually kind of close to yours, because I remember in the trailer, somebody said Godzilla is hurting us, and we don't know why. And I'm like, I don't think that's Godzilla, is what I'm thinking. The one that's doing all the damage, I don't think is Godzilla. I think that's what Kong is going to destroy and beat up, is whatever that is. And then Godzilla's going to show up at the end. And because they are the last of a group of titans that got destroyed by those things that killed off King Kong's parents. And what I think is they're going to set up those two in an uneasy alliance to fight those things at the end. You know, because there are a couple scenes in the trailer where Kong is fighting them. You know, or something that looks like Kong. I mean, I think the thing might have been his dad or whatever. But I think that's how it's going to be. You know, I don't know. Mechagodzilla, maybe that's what they're showing that's destroying Tokyo. They don't know why. Maybe that's Mechagodzilla, just not as goofy looking as it was when we saw it from the 60s, you know?
Yeah, come on. Well, the Godzilla in the movies aren't like the 60s, so why would...
I don't know. That's all that came to him. He said Mechagodzilla. Like, that dumbass thing?
Are you
really?
Yeah, well, we'll see who's right. I'm really invested in this stupid ass movie. I'm going to see big monster smash buildings and shit. All right. This weekend, now next weekend, I want to have another movie that we watch and review that's supposed to be coming out. But this movie's supposed to be in theaters. Well, I guess it was in a few theaters, but this is another one of those movies that was part of that Warner Brothers HBO Max deal. And Denzel Washington and Rami Malek, The Little Things, debuted last Saturday. You watched it?
Denzel, that weird guy, and Rami Malek. I just know he just looks like he was Mr. Robot. That's what I remember.
Yeah, he's also going to be he's also going to be the next Bond villain.
Wow. That's a dude who's so ugly, he actually looks unique. And that's part of the reason why I think he got into Hollywood, whether or not he could. I know he can act. Let's not talk about it. He's a very good actor. But I think his initial, the initial, with that guy is his off the wall, unique look.
Well, yeah.
I ain't never seen anybody look like him, ever.
Yeah, you don't know anybody. He's kind of like Steve Buscemi or What's that? Is it actor and a director? What's his name? Vincent Gallo. They're just
they have that ugly that's not, you know, vomit inducing, but it's that ugly that you kind of like, I can't stop looking. Like Buscemi, he wants to get his teeth done. He's been wanting to get his teeth done for decades, but his agent, people keep telling him, if you do, they're not going to hire you, man. You're hireable because you're ugly and you got messed up. I told him, because you're ugly, you got messed up teeth. This is what he said. You're ugly, you got messed up teeth. And he's like, yeah, that is right. That's how I make this brilliant living. Oh, you're ugly. Oh, isn't he? Looks like a little rat. Like a giant New York rat. He just needs some cheese on the stairs, and a cheese pizza, and he'd be fine.
All right, let me get through this so we can call it a night. Right. I gotta go to bed. All right, Ken Kern County Deputy Sheriff Joe Deacon is sent to Los Angeles for what should have been a quick evidence gathering assignment. Instead, he becomes embroiled. God, my fat tongue. In the search for a serial killer who is terrorizing the city. This movie takes place in 1990. Yeah. And Denzel, yeah, he's like a beat cop. Not a beat cop. Yeah, he's like a deputy sheriff. And like it looks like a small town sheriff, you know. And he used to be part of a homicide in the city. And he was like the hotshot detective. And just one case kind of broke him that he never got to solve. And then he finds out he's, going back to that town because he left the town and it consumed his life actually. And, he ends up going back to that town just to pick up some stuff. And there's the new hotshot guy. This is years later. And now he's falling into the same case. And so they both, I'm just going to skip ahead real quick.
I thought this movie was fine. If on the scale of 1 to 5, I'd give it a 2.5. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad by any means, but it was fine. I am glad I didn't go to a theater, drive somewhere, pay too much to drink something or eat something. And then watch this movie. I would have been not mad, but I would have been a little disappointed. Mm-hmm. This was rated for TV or for cable or HBO. It's perfect. It was great, but it was just fine. And the movie, I wanted everybody's acting their asses off. Denzel, Jared Leto, Remy, they're all doing fucking excellent. The woman, what's her name?
Woman,
Denzel's wife in the movie. She, his,
oh, his when he goes to the house and she comes,
yeah, because you find out he has like two adult children and a wife, ex wife, and he just basically just had a mental breakdown and left town and never came back and then came, just kind of disappeared. But everyone acted their ass off. This movie just something, and it just moved a little too slow. It was weird. It wasn't the psychological thriller I wanted. I guess that's what I'm saying. It was like so many. I mean, you get so trained. It's because people are like, because I was one of the few misfortunate people to hear about this movie beforehand and hear it compared to Seven. So I went in looking for Seven 2.0, and this isn't Seven. This is not a bad movie, but it's not Seven. Seven is a great movie. This is a fine movie.
Yeah, it was. I likened it back to The Equalizer 2, where I just wasn't expecting so much talking.
Yeah, well, I didn't mind talking because, like, the stuff they were doing in that's kind of like police procedurals. It's a lot of talking. But for me, I wanted more thriller in my thriller. This movie definitely had some creepy moments. And if I didn't go into it thinking Seven, maybe if I wasn't poisoned with that, I would have liked this more. But people kept saying, oh, it's just like Seven. And I see parallels where, like, yeah, two guys that aren't really friends that come together because of their obsession to solve something, and then there's this creepy bad guy, but no, it's not Seven.
Not even a little bit. Seven is an all-time top 10 classic for thrillers. Yes, me, man. And mainly it's because of Kevin Spacey's acting and then that final scene. That just covers that you just... You can't beat those two things, man. I mean, Spacey was on his game at that time. He was brilliant. And the way he played that Joe Nobody was just spine tingling. And then the way he goaded Brad Pitt into shooting him in the face. How do you do better than that? He made that dude shoot him. I was like, oh, you're a bad, bad motherfucker. But I don't know. I thought that it was okay. Like I said, I expected more. And I expected, and this is what I hate sometimes, is Hollywood will do one of two things to you when they do mysteries. They'll give you the least likely is the most likely, or they'll give you, yeah, that's who it is. We just didn't feel like hiding it. You know, we knew Jared. I was hoping Jared Leto wasn't the killer. I really was. But come on. Look at him. He had to have been.
Well, all the shit he found and the end. And the ending was, the ending was like different.
The movie just stopped in my mind. It just stopped.
Yeah, but I thought it was crazy. It was like, I mean, I don't want to spoil. Okay, spoiler for the next 3 minutes. I did not expect them to just kill him, like in a fit of rage.
Shovel to the head.
The guy just kills him. And then the other cop's like, well, hey, I know a little something about getting you out of accidental killings, so let me just clean this up. And I thought it was like, fuck, that's kind of crazy. But, you know, kudos. I mean, that was like something I was not going to expect. I was like, there's always going to be some moral dilemma where they're not going to. No, he helped them cover it up, and they got away with it. And he basically said, just keep your mouth shut, because little things is what gets you caught. And I was like, he's fucking right. And then, you know, if he stays shut, they're going to walk. He did. Yeah, I was like, God damn. He
got that girl in the woods.
It was kind of.
That was his burden to bear. Killing that lady in the woods. But my whole thing was, I was hoping that Denzel, because in the trailer, they show him briefly sitting in that room with all those plastic bags. They gave you a kind of a head turner, I guess. I don't even know what to call it, but where you looked at that and you're like, oh, is Denzel the killer? And I was kind of hoping that he was trying to cover up himself and implicate the Joker, Leto, and pin it on Leto, and then we find out he didn't, and then Denzel's the killer who moves on to another day, you know, as a cop. I was hoping it would go that way, but
we've seen that movie before. You know what I mean? It would have been fun to watch Denzel play that out, but we've seen that movie before. We hadn't seen shit like that. I mean, the fact that they just accidentally kill him and they just cover it up and it's all good and roll credits. Yeah, you don't see shit like that.
That wasn't interesting. Yeah,
I was like, I remember that was the one thing that kind of made me send it from I don't like it to it's fine, but I was like, see that happen.
Said, don't worry about it, I got, and he covered him up.
Yeah, he covered him, and he was like wearing some of Leto's stuff, so like where the sand and stuff where he walked around, it'll all match, it'll all,
that is,
know,
why he put that on. Oh my god,
it's like,
that's what do they call those countermeasures, that's what they call them. Yeah, he was using forensic.
Yeah, he was doing everything he was supposed to do.
Yeah,
see, that, I was like, that's smart.
I got so bored with all the talking and so pissed off that it wasn't going my way, I didn't pay attention to how brilliant the ending was. I thought it just stopped, but I didn't pay attention. I'm gonna have to watch the ending again because
the ending is what made me change my mind from a recommend to a fine, from a 1 to a 2.5, because I was like, it's a long, it's a long game. And it's not the thriller I was wanting, but that's not the movie's fault. I mean, because it did what it was supposed to do. It just wasn't what I expected.
Here's what I saw. It turned a by-the-book, hotshot, young detective into a rogue, murdering, covering up detective who got obsessed with a case and a killer and took advice from a dude he should never have taken advice from. Everybody tried to tell him, you don't leave. What was his name? I think his name was Deacon, Joe Deacon. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
You don't understand. You need to leave him alone. And it was almost like Deacon was the devil the way they were talking about him.
Right. But it was almost like the obsession would become infectious. Because remember, this is another thing I thought was kind of cool with this movie. When Rami Malek's character was like, he was talking to Jared Leto, and Leto's like, I'll show you where I buried the girl, but you got to get in the car with me. And I was like, why would you? And I get you're a cop and you have a gun, but you don't know what he has going on. And why would you go anywhere with him? And then it dawned on me when Denzel started falling. I was like, oh, that's right. You're obsessed. You're obsessed like he's obsessed, because he would do this if it meant he would close. If it meant he would, finally know and close the case, turn that ledger from red to black, like he was talking about earlier. It's like, if it did, he would, Denzel's character would do this. So of course you're going to do this, because you're just as bad as he is now. So it made sense. It totally made sense. I was like, man, this movie's a little deeper than I thought. Once I got over, it wasn't going to give me what I wanted. Cause it's kind of comfort food. It's kind of like Law and Order. I love Law and Order because I know how it's gonna go.
I just takes me there
a little differently.
When I'm in my game room playing, right, it's kind of like beautiful nostalgic background noise, and then I'll turn up.
It's macaroni and cheese.
You don't mind having it all the time. You just don't. Law and Order, the original one, just has a special place in my heart. But back to the movie, I didn't even think about that part that you just said. Why he guys like, why are you getting in the car? And it's like, oh, you are Denzel. You are the character now.
Yeah, I remember thinking this is just stupid. And then why were you getting the car? And then when he's out and he's digging holes and he's turning his back to the guy, he's like, oh, you're obsessed now. You don't even care about your own safety. That's it's Leto kept
playing with
out.
Him. Character kept playing with him. No, I think he's over here. No. Over here.
Yeah. Like who would put up with that?
He wants to know. He don't care.
I mean, what other person? Like, I just hold my gun on him, say you start digging. If he gives me new chisels, it's like, I'll fucking shoot you right here. Who's gonna believe you?
that classic line. There are two kinds of people in this world. Those with guns with bullets and those who dig. You dig.
So I was like, so at that point I was like, oh, he doesn't care anymore. He's obsessed.
Oh, by the way, that reference was good to bad.
And even
I know you did. That's why you laughed. Yeah, I was like, you know what I'm saying.
But so I was like, oh yeah, you're obsessed. And even when Leto was like, what kind of man chases me around and leaves his whole family at home? And it's like, he's right. He's so right. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, Malik he's in. He's like a drug addict now. He needs to know end of this case.
That is either going to do one or two things to him. It's going to kill him, or he's never going to retire as a police officer. He'll be doing this until he's at his desk and has a heart attack. Because he can't figure out who did what. And I've seen episodes of like Lieutenant Kenda, and his show was on ID. He talked about officers like him, where it's like there are cases that they take to their graves, that they have still pictures of the crime scene in their house in a locked room that may be 35 years old, and because they can't solve it, and they take that shit with them to the grave, where it's like that weight goes with them because they didn't solve this case. We weren't able to speak for the victim, and it drives them nuts. And I was like, and then Kendall's like, he kind of passive aggressive this. He's like, well, except for me, I'm 300 for 300, so that's why I got a TV show anyway.
Well, on that note, we have been talking way too long, and I'm surprised this hasn't kicked us out yet, so I think we should get out while the getting's good. So folks, we will see you next week. I have a fun thing with questions I want to have to do with Marcel, but I'll save that till next week because we went on several tangents today, and it, you know, mm-hmm. it is what it is. You know how we work. All right, folks. Peace. See you next week.